What is up, dudes, dudettes, and all my beautiful people of the interwebs? It's me, Bloody Knuckles, the native nerd and gothic gamer here. And today is a special day, and more so, it's a very sad day. And we're going to kind of talk about that here. But as you can see, we're having a lot of technical issues with some of the guys. A lot of things are coming up, so they're trying to get some things squared away, but I'm going to go ahead and lead off here with some of the topics on what we're going to talk about. But today is really a sad day. And for those who haven't heard yet, Steve Ditko, probably one of the most prolific and influential creators in the comic book industry, has unfortunately passed away today. And for those who don't know who Steve Ditko is, he's probably one of the biggest names in the comic book industry and creators for a lot of characters, up there with Jack Kirby and Stan Lee and others. He was actually one of the ones who created some of the most prolific and iconic characters that we know today. He created Spider-Man, he created Doc Ock, he created Doctor Strange, Baron Mordo, he created Flash Thompson, Squirrel Girl, Dormammu, J. Jonah Jameson, Green Goblin. A lot of Spider-Man villains and characters really came from him, as well as Doctor Strange. But for those who actually don't know, he even did some time at DC alongside Jim Lee, who was the publisher in chief back then, and he actually was the one who helped to create Blue Beetle for DC Comics. So Steve Ditko has such a big impact on the comic book industry, and for someone like him to pass away, just like it was when Jack Kirby passed away, it's a heavy loss, because without this man, a lot of the characters that we know today, that we, some of us have grown up or read nowadays and seen the changes over the past, you know, several decades worth of characters and storylines, these characters wouldn't exist if it wasn't for, you know, Steve Ditko. So a lot of people are really expressing their condolences and pain, for the loss of this character. Actually, he had passed away several days ago, but they're just kind of talking about it right now. But it is still something that is such a sad thing to see. You know, he was an older man. You know, he was 90 years old, but it was still just the fact of that his loss is definitely something that is going to be felt and remembered. So for those who do know who Steve Ditko is and everything, you know, his loss is truly a sad thing to hear about. So Steve Ditko, you will be missed, and you will be thought of. Your creations and everything that you've left behind is such a large legacy and so many iconic things that it will not be forgotten, and it will continue to be remembered and continued on, especially with a character like Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, especially as of recently. So that is something that we will be seeing more of here in time. But the next thing that I really wanted to bring up here, besides that kind of somber note, is that Captain Marvel, something that we've been talking about here on the show, and at least one thing that I'm absolutely excited about, they did come out with a report that today it officially wrapped its production and shooting. So that means that they have officially finished shooting all scenes. So far as we know, there are no reshoots, but they did finish all that, and that they did wrap the production, and right now everything is going into post-production. So we are going to see that they are now doing the final touches on the movie. So we're going to start seeing that everything now is finalizing the film. I believe they've already put out the test footage with the screened audiences and everything to kind of get a feel for it. And everyone who has seen the film in those test groups have been absolutely in love with everything that they've seen. So they were able to finish all the shooting. So like I said, everything is in post-production at this point. So all they're doing now is putting the film in the correct order, doing any touch-up to any sort of CGI scenes and green screen things of that nature. So everything from this point on is very solidified. It would have to take a major setback for them to do any sort of last minute reshoots, to do any sort of rearranging of the story or script. But from everything that has come out on Captain Marvel, the script was set in stone with the story that they were for quite some time, and there's been no issues with the writers. Everything looks good for Brie Larson, as well as everyone that has been confirmed for the film. So what we're going to see out of Captain Marvel is definitely going to be something that really does switch things up. And I'm really glad to see it, because Captain Marvel is one of the, if not the most powerful Marvel character in the universe and the comics as we know. So really getting to see her on the main screen, especially seeing a full-fledged, you know, female superheroine on screen and finally getting her film after so long, which it should have been done quite some time ago, you know, getting her to see. Well, now a lot of people have had mixed feelings about Brie Larson being her, but I think Brie Larson can definitely has the look for Captain Marvel. And what we're going to see out of it come next April, if I remember correctly, is when the movie's going to launch. So when the movie launches and comes out, we're definitely going to see some very entertaining and definitely some big things with the story that they do plan on telling, because they do plan on showing her origins, as we already know, but they did state that they were going to change it up, as well as they are going to go into depth about the Kree-Skrull War. So we are going to see a lot about that, which is probably one of the biggest aspects of her story that really does need to be explored. So the fact that they did confirm that they are going to go into depths about the Kree-Skrull War is going to have big implications for the rest of the MCU, because it can lead into what we saw in the beginning of the, I believe it was the Guardians of the Galaxy, which talked about the Kree and the Skrull kind of having a ceasefire or a temporary truce. So that, seeing that really come out, is definitely going to have some big implications for what's going to come next, especially with Avengers 4 coming out next May, because as we know, she was teased at the end of Infinity War, and her implications on what she can do and how it plays into the story is going to be something, because we do know that she was paged by Nick Fury to summon her, and that we know that in Avengers 4 is going to be about a 4 to 5 year time gap, I believe is what they stated, because they did state that it was several years after the end of Infinity War. So there's going to be a lot of things that have happened in that time frame. So if Captain Marvel's already there, it just means that they've already set up the resistance that's trying to get things reorganized before they go hunting for Thanos, unless she arrives at the beginning of the film, just making it after, you know, how, you know, the 4 or 5 year time gap. And that at that point is when they're going to start the hunt for Thanos and try and do the time travel that they've stated is going to be in that film. So there's going to be a lot of things going on in that aspect that is going to tie into the future and what's going to come after, because they did state that with Phase 4 starting with Captain Marvel, it is going to go more cosmic. So we are going to see a lot more of the cosmic heroes inside of things. So that means more Guardians, more Captain Marvel. They already confirmed that they want to do a Miss Marvel with the current Miss Marvel, which is Kala Khan, as well as we also are going to see more of, more than likely they are going to show off Adam Warlock, and he'll probably have his own standalone. So we'll probably see more of that. But as for everything else, it is going to be interesting to see what comes next, starting with Captain Marvel. So I'm glad to hear that they were able to get through that, get through those films and get through the production with no issues, especially after everything from the past while, from everything we've seen with other films having to do so many last minute reshoots. It really has hurt a lot of films and caused a lot of issues with those kinds of things. So knowing that they were able to go through production in the past, I believe it was 6 to 7 months when they started shooting, I believe back in December when they started. So seeing that they've had almost no issues going this whole time and be able to get this, that really does bode well for the fact that it is going to be coming out in April, and that they are going to be on time with that. Because we saw a lot of people were worried the same thing with Ant-Man, especially after what happened with Deadpool and everything. So it is good that we are kind of seeing things getting a little bit more concentrated and on track, and not seeing too many things kind of go off on these different tangents or rails with issues in production, especially after what happened with Solo, which a lot of people were unhappy with. But congrats to the Captain Marvel team. I do have a friend who's been on the show before. That would be our friend from G4G, which would be Avers, for those who don't know. He does have a friend that works on Marvel, and he was currently working on that. He didn't tell us anything, can't go into details about anything, but from what he was saying, that things were just really great. That's all we were able to get out of the man, because he's as secret as the FBI. Let's just go with that. Marvel does not like anything getting out. So, you know, what can you do? But now for some real interesting news that for me, especially as a massive anime fan, and especially as a mecha fan, and I don't know who out there likes mecha like I do, but Mobile Suit Gundam is getting a new season and a new show. But it's one that I'm really happy for, is that Iron-Blooded Orphans is getting a second season soon. And I'm really happy for that, because Iron-Blooded Orphans was probably one of my absolute favorite seasons and reincarnations of Mobile Suit Gundam, because it was one of the most well done and well drawn out seasons in the past, you know, real decade of anything, as well as just great story, interesting characters, and just everything. It really is interesting, because it takes on a lot of more realistic real life problems. It talked about war, which has always been an aspect of Mobile Suit Gundam, with neo-colonialism, with people in the colony planets and out on the frontier hating everyone back on Earth and being in the main solar system and stuff like that. So it was always this kind of war about, you know, independence and things, but this one really tackled it a lot more, as well as it tackled a lot of slavery, more talk on child soldiers, poverty, a lot of politics and corruption. It was a very, very well done storyline, and the aspect of this series itself, as well as the catchphrase, is the sustenance of life is on the battlefield, if I remember that correctly. But it really is well done, and I'm glad that it's getting a second season, because I absolutely love Mobile Suit Gundam, because Mobile Suit Gundam was actually what really got me into mecha. Growing up, you know, I saw the original Mobile Suit Gundam back in 99, and that was absolutely awe-inspiring and made me love space. It really did. And then from seeing Mobile Suit Gundam to Gundam Zero, and then to Mobile Wing, those were my absolute favorite. I would have to say Zero is still probably my all-time favorite, but after Zero and Wing, there was 00 Zeta came out after that, and I saw that one a little bit, but I didn't watch all of 00 Zeta. And then from there, it went into others, and I didn't enjoy those ones as much, which really made me sad. But from there, there was a few more mechas that started coming out from there, like Big O was a big one that I really enjoyed, as well as more. But after like the early 2000s, mecha kind of died out for a while, especially after Neon Genesis Evangelion, because I don't have to explain Neon Genesis, because we'll be here all day, and that show is more fucked up than anything in the world. But mecha is one of those genres, or really subgenres within anime, that just, it takes a lot to do right and hasn't been done a lot, especially in the past decade. While there's definitely been Mobile Suit definitely Gundam series that have come and gone, not all of them were really well. I really liked Mobile Suit Gundam Builders, which was before the one that we have now, which is Mobile Divers, which is a more of a MMORPG or like a VR MMORPG series. But I liked Builders because of the fact that it showed them building the gunplas, or which is what they call model kits there. And it was a very much basically a total fan service series because it showed so many Gundams across so many eras and incarnations that it was really, really fun. And the story for it being, you know, about kids building model kits was still a very good story. Divers is touch and go. I still enjoy it because I do still love Gundam, but I'm glad that Iron-Blooded Orphans is finally getting a second season because it came back out in 2015 and to 2016 because it came out in the winter season of that year of 2015. So it's good to see that it's coming back, especially with a really well critically acclaimed storyline and series incarnation, because it's something that really does deserve a lot more attention for it, you know. But along with that, it was also announced that Gundam is also finally getting a live action adaptation. It's getting a live action movie. And when I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, why has it taken so long to do a live action Gundam film? Because if you think about it, we've seen a lot of live action or of mechas, you know, especially with Pacific Rim having recently come back out and really brought the kaiju aspect and things like that really back into the spotlight, that it's about time that they do a live action Gundam film. Especially since they could have done that so long ago. Because if you think about it, when Iron-Blooded Orphans Season 2 comes out, it'll be next year. And that'll be on the 40th anniversary of Gundam, because it originally came out back in 1979. So it is on its official 40th anniversary. So why has it taken almost 40 years to do that and to really do a live adaptation, especially after the tease that they put in Ready Player One? I'm glad that it is finally coming out and that we are finally getting what we should have had for so long. But the fact that they are doing it is a good thing, especially with the fact that it's being done by Legendary Films. And if you don't know who Legendary is, they're the ones who actually helped to create Pacific Rim with Guillermo del Toro. So they do have that experience working with mechas and building those models and helping to animate them. So that is a good thing. But the best thing about it is they are working in conjunction with Sunrise Studios. And Sunrise is the creators and the most notable for running the Mobile Suit franchise. So them working together on this collaboration of a live action Gundam film is such great news to really see. And look who finally showed up. What's going on there, you fraud? Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you. I see you sound better. Got that new mic and headset, huh?
Funny thing is, this is not my new mic. This is like my wireless earpiece, my phone. So.
Oh, man.
I'm taking my laptop right now. I just got home. I'm on the damn truck, so.
Oh, man, this guy over here. This guy.
We're talking Gundam now?
We're talking Gundam.
The new live adaptation of the movie coming through?
Yeah, we're talking about the live adaptation that's coming out.
Yeah, so who's do you know who's directing it yet?
They don't have a director. They have not stated who will be directing the film just yet. They just stated that it is going to be produced and be put out by Legendary Studios. They haven't announced any directors yet, but that's all we know, is that they will co-produce it with Sunrise Studios, who were the creators of it. And I believe they said that they're pushing for it to come out in 2020, because they announced it this past weekend on Thursday at Anime Expo, talking about it. So that was really great to see. I'm sad that we weren't there live to see it, but you know, it happens. But they did state that it was going to be coming out in 2020.
Okay, so it's just a pre-production right now.
Yeah, and they're going to do it just after their 40-year anniversary.
Okay, cool. I hope it does come out well, because they actually, the first Transformers live adaptation movie we got with Michael Bay, the first one was real good. Raptor is like a it was a decline from there on out. So I hope they actually handled this IP better than they handled Transformers.
Oh yeah, definitely. Seeing as it's being overseen by Cale Border, who is from Legendary, and he's going to be working directly with Sunrise, as I believe they are still going to be helming the script for it and helping to put everything together. I have high hopes for it because of the fact that it's not coming from an outside team or anything like that. No, it's coming from Sunrise Studios themselves. They are going to be massive creative leads on the project. Kale, Legendary is literally just helping to produce the film and just make sure that they have the funds for it. So that's the one thing that I can absolutely be happy about, is that there's not going to be too much interference from outside influences for the most part.
And Legendary, they're helping fund it, correct?
Yeah, Legendary is gonna be producing it.
Okay, good. At least the budget will be sound then, because usually these adaptations, because unfortunately they're not given that much budget for these movies over, and so they do what they're given. But hopefully, with Legendary helping them, backing them up, it should be a solid movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. But like I said, he will just be a representative from, Legendary, but the fact is that it's still going to be all done by Sunrise Studios, so they're going to have full creative control, which is the best thing that they can do for, especially for a Gundam film, as no one knows that series and franchise better than Sunrise Studios, because that is their baby. They've been doing it for 40 years. They know what they're doing. Just stay out of the way.
Yeah. Exactly, man. As long as they'll get Pacific Rim 2 type situation, I'm good. If that movie compares to the first one, I did not like it at all. I don't remember how you feel about the movie. I did not like it at all.
I enjoyed it because it was more of an action film. Yeah, it wasn't as dramatic as the first one, which was a great thing, because you know the way that everything went was very much Guillermo del Toro. And the second one, yeah, there were some issues with the writing, but you know, Guillermo del Toro wasn't contributing to the writing the second time around, but he was still an executive producer. He was still overseeing the things. He just wasn't full hands-on because he was working on Shape of Water at that time. And I still think that as an action film and being a kaiju mecha film, that it was still really good. The kaijus in that film were phenomenal. I love the design, the way that they talked about the progress of them and how they changed over time was real cool. I did like a lot of the new Jaegers and how they were presented and their designs. It was really cool. Yeah, like I said, story-wise, the film was not good, but everything else was still very solid in the film.
Yeah, I'll give it another chance whenever I get the ability to, but I just, that story. I just got annoyed with the entire thing. I can't do
it. Yeah. Like I said, that's an issue from the writing aspect, but from everything else within that film was really good. But as I say that, I'm just happy that it's taken so long, but we are finally getting a live action Gundam film, along with the new season of Iron Blooded Orphans. And I believe they announced that Iron Blooded Orphans season 2 is going to be coming out in October of this year. So for those who want more Gundam and want something to fill in the time gap between now and 2020, whenever we get the live adaptation, Iron Blooded Orphans is definitely worth checking out. Like I said, it's one of the best storylines from Gundam since Mobile Suit Wing and Zero way back in the 90s. You know, since then, I haven't really enjoyed a lot of the other storylines. You know, 00 Zeta was pretty good, but Iron Blooded Orphans is phenomenal. It absolutely is, and I'm excited for that as a mecha fan.
Exactly, man. They can take as long as they need to, as long as it comes out right. Cause last thing we need is a rush, like live action adaptation. That's going to hurt the brand.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's in production, so that's all I'm happy about, bro.
Definitely. And Ed, I do see, and I do agree that the end of season one of IBO was heartbreaking. But I really want to see what they do with season two. Because like I said, IBO was one of the best storylines for Gundams in so long. Like in the past decade, there's nothing that has been as good as it.
Wait,
so,
can we move on to the next topic? Because I've been hearing some chatter about this new Deadpool versus Black Panther series coming out.
Yeah, so Deadpool and Black Panther, a comic series you never thought you'd ever hear about or read. But Marvel announced that they are doing a miniseries of a 5-run limited comic called Deadpool versus Black Panther. And the synopsis right now of it is that Deadpool, being Deadpool, needs vibranium for whatever the fuck Deadpool does and needs to get some. But the only place to get it is from, well, Wakanda. And he knows that he's not going to be able to get it without going up against the King of Wakanda himself. And, well, he has the advantage of not being able to die. But going against the most technologically advanced country in the world with one of the strongest metals of all the mankind, he's going to have his work cut out for him. So it's going to kind of go into the going to this 5-series run of Deadpool trying to get some vibranium for whatever he does, and he's gonna have to get through T'Challa.
This literally sounds like a cash grab, because Black Panther is definitely hot, one of the hottest things out there right now. It's really phenomenal. Deadpool definitely gone up the second one as well.
I mean, everything sounds like a cash grab when Marvel announced the new comic storyline, but it really is not. Like, I mean, a lot of people thought when they did the Deadpool and Thanos comic run probably about a year or two ago when they announced Avengers Infinity War, that people thought it was just a cash grab for Thanos. But I mean, like, no, it there's a lot of characters that Deadpool comes up against or teams up with that are just like very random and out there, and I love it, because I mean, look, one of my favorites right now was the Deadpool and Spider-Man comic series. And that's because of the fact that we've seen Spider-Man and Deadpool a lot together already in Spider-Man comics. But seeing a full dedicated miniseries was phenomenal, because we saw Deadpool talking with Miles. We saw him talking with Peter. We saw him talking with what was the third Spider-Man? I can't think of the Peter's bodyguard that stands in for him every now and then. I can't think of his name.
Crap. Let me look him up real quick. You might just look mine up.
But yeah, all three of those characters were in that comic series. But I mean, we mainly saw Peter and Deadpool interacting, but he did have a lot of dialogues as well with Miles, which was always fun. But I mean, any character that Deadpool goes up with, everyone seems going to be like a cash grab, because there was Deadpool and Wolverine. There was also Deadpool and Gwenpool. We saw, you know, Deadpool and Spider-Man, Deadpool and Thanos. I believe there was a issue within Squirrel Girl's comic run where she ran into Deadpool. I can't remember exactly. And then, of course, now we have Deadpool and Black Panther. It always seems like there's going to be, you know, it's always going to seem like a cash grab. But in all fairness, that is just kind of what he does. And Ed, I can definitely feel where you're coming from. A lot of people, Deadpool, I feel like, is one of those characters, while everyone finds hilarious and entertaining, that for a lot of people is still very polarizing. It's either you love him or you hate him and his interactions throughout the universe. So I could definitely see where you're coming from with that.
For me, it's just the timing of everything, because Black Panther dropped not long ago, and Deadpool 2 as well. And now this series is coming out as well. That's me. Him interacting with other characters in the universe, I don't have a problem with that at all. Just, for me, it's just the timing. But I'm not going to say it's going to be a bad series or anything. It's probably going to be pretty hilarious, because it is Deadpool going against Black Panther. Come on now. But yeah, just for me, it's just the timing of it. But I do think it'll be a good series, well, mini-series coming out.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be something interesting. And I'm definitely looking forward to it. You know, I have so many of Deadpool's comics and so many of his storylines. Like, I'm absolutely going to get this limited run. So, you know, I'm all for it. I want to see how it all plays out.
Fought before? The comics, I don't believe they ever have.
Which one?
Deadpool and Black Panther. Have they ever fought before? I don't know. I don't think they ever fought each other.
Deadpool and Black Panther?
Yeah, I don't think they ever fought each other before.
No, they haven't, but they have interacted before in some of the other comics, and T'Challa does not put up with Deadpool's nonsense at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
One of the most strategic fighters out there, so it's definitely a cool fight to see.
Yeah, exactly. But it's something else, and it's going to be entertaining. So I love it.
Yeah. So, Bloody, I saw a new Kill Kill game coming out soon.
Oh, the Kill a Kill game. Oh, I have to say I am absolutely sold on it. So Arc Systems, they're at Anime Expo, actually just before Anime Expo, announced that they're working on a new game, and it is Kill a Kill. And for anyone who hasn't seen Kill a Kill, it is an anime series that was done by Studio Trigger, who has worked on things such as Tengen Toppa, Gurren Lagann, Space Patrol Aluko, recently Darling in the Franxx. Of course, they've also worked on Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt and Kill a Kill. And when Arxis announced this, I was ecstatic, because seeing what Arxis has done with Dragon Ball FighterZ, their attention to detail, the art style, and everything in that game was so well done. It screamed the original anime, as well as it also screamed the manga, just because of the fact that how beautiful the game looked, right? It was just absolutely something else. There was just no other way to really put it. You know, it looked fantastic. It played so well, and it was just everything that a true DBZ fan would love. And they recently just put out the gameplay teaser from Anime Expo. And seeing how they already showed off Ryuko and how her and Sayurin looks and their kamois and showing everything off, it looks real good. So far, the art is solid. The animation and the, the visual effects are very on par with what we saw in the anime, as well as what we saw in the anime. Because I had to think for a second. No, because a lot of the shows that Studio Trigger puts out are all original productions. They're not based on any mangas or anything like that. Studio Trigger is one of the few studios that always do original stories, and I'm looking forward to it because the character models, like I said, were really well done. But this one's different because it's going into a 3D arena fighter like we've seen with a lot of others in the past. Not a 2D fighter like what they're used to doing with like Guilty Gear and what they did with FighterZ, as well as what they've also done with Blaze Blue. It's not your typical 2D. It's a 3D arena fighter, but it still looks well done. Of course, it's going to be very ecchi based because the fact that's Kill a Kill, and that's honestly because Studio Trigger has no chill with the fact that they're just like, no, we're just going to put in sexual content because fuck it, we can. That is honestly their thought process of when they do it. And a lot of people said that about Kill a Kill. Despite that, though, the story was still over the top, was really good. And you know, just the characters were entertaining, just like we saw with Gurren Lagann, just like what we've seen with basically anything Studio Trigger has done.
Exactly, man. And like, let me say right now, I started Kill a Kill like a couple years ago. My old buddy put me onto it. Like at that time, like, of course, living with my mom in high school and whatnot. So she came out there, she saw me watch, she said, "Turn that shit off!" And that was the end of that story. And I haven't gone back to it yet. But from what I've seen of it so far, bro, I love it. It was hilarious. I'll definitely get back to it after a while. But from a gameplay standpoint, the studio was handled on Dragon Ball Z Fighters, but you already know it's going to be handled, bro.
Oh yeah, like I said, it definitely, from what they showed off, it looks really good. And it's not going to be a 2D fighter like FighterZ, but it is going to be an arena fighter. It is going to be a little bit of a small arena, but it still looks like it's going to be good. And for those who don't know, it is going to be supervised by Studio Trigger. So they are overseeing it alongside with Arxis, because the name of the game is Kill a Kill the Game. So it sounds like they're going to have a story mode to it, like we saw in Fighters, and it's going to explore probably the storyline of the original anime, as well as it might branch off and do an if story based on if things happen differently within the anime. And for those who don't know a lot of some of the other things that they've done, Kiss Niver was a really well done series. Actually, Studio Trigger in one season, I believe it was the 2016 in summer, they had two going on, which was Space Patrol Iluko and Kiss Niver. But they also did Kill la Kill, and one that a lot of people didn't know or didn't hear about was Little Witch Academia, which was a very cute, you know, anime. It was more down to earth, but it was still absolutely hilarious, over the top, everything you'd expect from Studio Trigger. And they've shown they can go across all different genres, subgenres, and include ecchi or not, and still tell really good stories, because Little Witch Academia was probably, I recently had binge watched that series, and it was very down to earth, and I loved it. You know, Studio Trigger is probably one of my favorite studios, up there with Sunrise. So they have the talent, and I think a lot of games, especially within anime, right, all fit as fighting games. There really is no other genre that can really that they can really fit in, because we've kind of had this chat before, is that a lot of animes are all battle animes, they're all battle shonens, battle mangas, whatever you want to call them, is that that's just typically where it goes. Even if you look at the magical girl genre, you know, whether you look at Maho Shoujo, those are still technically battle shoujos. You know, they're magical girls that are still fighting. Sometimes it's either other magical girls or they're fighting monsters or whatever. But a lot of anime just turns into battle animes, or they end up going into the aspect of like Gundam or Berserk, where they fit within the Musou style. Like we talked, like I believe it was two shows ago, me and Soul were going at it, talking about, you know, the Berserk game, the Berserk Musou. And he was saying that he really hates the Dynasty Warriors, you know, formula. And I get it, but within the context and style of the series that's doing it, you know, Fist of the North Star, perfect for a Musou style game. Berserk, perfect for a Musou style game. Same with Gundam. You know, you're looking at high speed mechas that are flying through space, just mowing through like these like mass produced armaments, instead of going up against stronger, you know, single made custom, you know, Gundams. You know, they do just kind of fit within those genres. So it's hard to see some of those genres really step out. You know, I think one of the few games that we had that did was Naruto before. Now we're seeing, you know, One Piece doing it with World Seeker. So with the announcement of the Kill la Kill game, that one didn't surprise me that it was a fighting game. I'm just surprised that it's actually getting a game at all, because we don't see too much from Studio Trigger, except I think there is a Little Witch Academia game coming out as well. But the fact that they're doing a game, especially for such a big series like Kill la Kill was for them, I'm glad to see it's being done, and by someone who really does have experience with fighting games like Arxis.
Yeah, but going off what you said earlier, they can also spin like open world RPGs, turn-based RPGs in some cases as well, like you think about what was it?
Yeah.
Right now, but yeah.
It's one of those things.
No, they can't fit in those.
Yeah. And as a sad aspect is that I would definitely love to see different genres for a lot of these different animes or things like that. But there's honestly just a lot of them really don't fit in within a lot of other genres or what they could really do, you know?
Oh, yeah, they'll pretty much fail there, especially in our genres. Well, it's kind of a bad thing, because most of them, the genres they actually do fit in, actually fit in pretty well in the class or series.
Exactly.
They, fighters, it's like one of the best fighters out there right now.
Absolutely. And that's the aspect that I tried to get across the last time, is that with a lot of these anime games that we're seeing, is that, you know, they do right in the genres that they're in when they come out as games, because that's just where they fit. And it's hard to kind of make a mold or have them fit into another genre of games, just because of the fact that they aren't well suited for some of the things that people want. Now, what we're seeing with like World Seeker, I can absolutely see One Piece as an open world game, because the series itself is an open world, you know, story. You know, this could just be like its own self-contained story arc, like we've seen out of One Piece, because it is talking about them going back to an island that they previously were at and kind of going from there. There's still a lot of action aspects and a lot of fighting, so it fits within that aspect. But it is definitely one that can fit in that open world. I don't know if it's going to be an RPG, but as an open world action game, it definitely does. Same with Naruto, you know, but not a lot of other games can really fit that mold.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that anime. It's around the, like, Naruto, Book of Bonds, Rise of Ninja. It's like a semi-open world, but like a RPG as well. Like, man, back in the day, man, Broken Bond, that was the best back then. I played the best of that game.
Oh, dude, Broken Bond went hard. Straight up, it went hard. Exactly, man. That's why I want to see more open world games for games that can do it, you know? It would be great to see more of them.
Yeah, as far as, like, One Piece, I'm not they can do open world, but I'm not sure I would do, like, RPG. Only person that it kind of makes sense was, like, Frankie. Because he's Cyborg, he's always constantly upgrading himself, and whatnot, to Sunny as well. So you have RPG elements in that as well. The characters, I don't know, but they're the game developers. They can make it work. I'm just spitballing here.
Oh yeah, definitely. But the fact is that Kill la Kill's getting a fighting game, and I'm all for it. I definitely can't wait to see more of what Arxis puts out of it. You know, especially with the fact that they are working in tandem with Studio Trigger. So it is definitely going to be something interesting, and I honestly can't wait for it.
Oh yeah, man. Definitely can't wait. The sad thing is, I had a juice being one of Monster Hunter World or Dragon Ball Z Fighters, so I got Monster Hunter World, so I haven't played that much Dragon Ball Z Fighters. But whenever I get a chance, I will pick it up.
Oh dude, I keep going back and forth of it.
I love it. I play it with my friends, so I just love it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, man, I honestly love it so much. Fighters is absolutely what I would have wanted out of a Dragon Ball game. It is what should have been for a while, you know, since Budokai Tenkaichi 3, you know.
Would you say that, better than Budokai Tenkaichi series? Would you say it's better?
Honestly, I would say while it's more simplified, it feels a lot more fluid. The combat feels a little bit more refined. Now, I do love Tenkaichi because it was the best for an arena fighter. But since then, you know, the arena fighters that we've gotten since, you know, especially with like Xenoverse. Ugh, I hated Xenoverse. But Fighters absolutely encompasses what, you know, you would expect from Dragon Ball. It still has a lot of the special moves. You know, everyone uses their special attacks, you know, from Tien's Dodon Ray and Piccolo using the Hell Zone Grenade and everything. You know, it feels more impactful, especially with just the sheer visual aesthetic of it all. It really does surpass... Oh, absolutely. They severely, like, absolutely surpass everything from Tenkaichi.
Yeah, man. Just have high hopes for this game. Definitely have. They really got in the bag at this point. They've proven themselves with Z Fighters. They're going to this. Yeah, they definitely got it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, next up. Yeah, exactly. Wolfang Fist. That's my boy Yamcha. Everyone hates on him too much. Don't give him enough credit.
He became a meme like Dragon Ball Z, like Kai. But like before that, man, he was a beast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, he is absolutely like top tier in Fighters. Everyone doesn't give him enough respect. I destroy with Yamcha. But next up, what we have here. Oh, Super G's calling you out, Op. You say you got to speak up.
Whoops, sorry. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Got to get that mic closer to your face, bro.
Yeah, man, I'm just multitasking right now. Is that better?
Or
is
that that's better. That's better. You need to get your computer up so that way you can use that fancy new headset you got.
Bro, I'm afraid to plug a thing in. I haven't touched it yet since I got it. I'm just going to go back to my old one and just hope that works.
Oh, this fraud. He spends money on a new headset and he's going to go back to his piece of shit.
I'm going to break it in on this episode now. I'll do it off air.
Well, hurry up. They try to hear you. But next up, what we got here is something interesting because, man, has this caused some rather heated arguments amongst the crew here is Sword Art Online. Very polarizing for half of the crew here. I enjoy it. I'll admit it's not the best. Yeah, see, there it is. I already started. I'll admit it's not the best, but I've watched all the seasons of it so far, and I just finished up GGO earlier today, the Alternative Gun Gale online. But they released the first trailer of the new story arc for the Alicization arc. And I have to tell you that they have absolutely stepped up the quality of animation, the voice acting, and so far the story actually looks a lot more interesting. For those who haven't read this far into the manga, I can't claim to have either because when it comes to mangas, I typically read them only for stories I'm really interested in or animes that cut too short and will never get a second season and I need to finish it, Dead Man Wonderland. Anyways, the Alicization story arc is actually going to go into the story of what happened to, of course, Kirito and Asuna make their return. And I believe Shinon is also there from what I recognized from the trailer, and that they got pulled into another game, like always, because they always get pulled into a damn game. But this one actually is the fact that the AI are actually alive to a certain extent. And apparently that they have something called the Alice Protocol that they have to follow within the rules of the world that they got pulled into. And so far what they've explained is that some of the NPCs have been waiting for our characters to arrive because they're trying to kill them to be able to escape the world that they're trapped in. So seems like it is going to explore another death game, quote unquote, but it's going to go into a little bit more detail as it's going to play out a lot differently because they're not in avatars. They're not, you know, Kirito's not in his beater outfit like we've seen in the past. He's not in his ALO outfit. Neither is he is Asuna and her SAO outfit or in her ALO, same with Shinon. They're actually in their regular clothes and looks stuck within the system. So it looks interesting so far with what they've shown. So I'm definitely looking forward to it and interested in seeing what they do with it. As like I said, with SAO, it's been very touch and go. I was personally more of a fan of Log Horizon because I found that one more enjoyable because I just like the characters a lot more. But so far with what they showed off, it definitely is going to be interesting with how it all plays out. Have a chance to check out the video that I sent?
Oh yeah, checked it out. Still don't care. But I think the only person who's actually looking forward to it. Like I just tried Sword Art back then when Chris came out. I was like, I'm not feeling this. It's just a little weeby for me, so I left it alone. You love it. I was hearing a lot of great things about it. So I'm just saying.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
Don't hide the passion. Don't hide it.
Oh God, no! If I had to choose between this or Dot Hack, I would take Dot Hack any day.
Oh. Okay.
Dot hack was significantly better. That was the original stuck in another world, die in the game, die in real life anime. Right. No one remembers Dot Hack anymore, man. That came out in the 90s. I love Dot Hack. Dot Hack Psy, Dot Hack Twilight. I loved all that.
Especially the thing about this genre, like an anime, like getting stuck in a game where you die and you die in real life. It's such a cool concept to use, but like I'm just not feeling it with Sword Art.
See, the first season was fine in the beginning. And then, like, later on, it kind of just, like, went off track. Like, I get, like, the thing that people fail to remember with Sword Art Online is that it was written by, I think he was 15 or 16 at the time. It was written by a teenager with a ghostwriter, right?
And they greenlit it still?
Yes, because of the fact that it was originally a light novel that was written by a teenager. And if you probably didn't get far into to SAO because you probably stopped like after like the first two episodes.
Yeah, first 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, worse. I'm messing with you. There was like if for those who actually saw the scene when Asuna invited Kirito over to have dinner at her apartment or her house or whatever that they had. They remember the scene like when she was talking with them that, you know, the lights turned out and she started undressing and implied that they had sex and all that. In the actual light novel, they went into detail about that, right? But it was so poorly written, you could obviously tell it was by a virgin teenager. And I honestly felt bad for the ghostwriter who had to write it out because of the fact that it sounded so off-putting. Because I think like the scene, if I had to find the actual like paragraph of the page, but he was just like he was basically describing like in that moment as he was watching Asuna that he realized what was happening and that he quickly like walked up to her and embraced her and they went to the bedroom and he said that he unleashed 4 years or 2 years, I forget how long it was, build up of semen within her. And I'm just like, this sounds so unsettling.
Like a terrible fanfic. Jeez.
Exactly. He's just like, I released 3 years worth of built up passion for her as I unflowed my semen. I was just like, oh God, dude. I was like, this is not attractive at all. It was so bad.
I'm surprised you actually read it.
It falls into the line. It wasn't a hentai. It was an ecchi based light. No, I'm sure it actually classified as a ecchi based light novel for at that time. I think it was for young adults, which is like 15 plus in Japan. I believe it is something like that. But no, it didn't. And with light novels, remember that people don't understand the difference between manga and light novels. Light novels are basically books that do have some manga illustrations throughout the book. But that's why it's called a light novel, because it's not a full novel. Yes, Justin, wink, wink. But I remember that because I had actually talked with a couple of people in an anime club that I hang out with here in town. They talked about that and we were kind of poking fun at it when they did the original launch of SAO. So like I said, once they started going more into the relationship instead of the rest of the actual, you know, game, that's when it kind of went left and off the rails. Yeah. Log Horizon kept to the premise of what it was doing, which is why I preferred it more. Same with Dot Hack. While it was talking about the characters living their lives outside of the game, but mainly, you know, doing things within the game, it all still felt within the lines of the story. You know, it didn't go way left or way right or anything like that. No, it still fell within the context of everything that they were doing. So it was one of those things that I could see why SAO was off-putting for a lot of people. But what they're doing with Alization, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, Gun Gale, if you've watched AGO, the one that just finished from this season, Alternative Gun Gale, that one was phenomenal. I was absolutely like glad to step away from Kirito and Asuna and Shinon and that whole group and see new characters because it felt better. Like following Karen and seeing her growth as a person, because of the fact that she's this abnormally tall female who wishes she was short, tries to play VR games to get a short character and ends up in Gun Gale. And it was a very good story because we saw her growth as a character, as well as she kind of getting more friends, and it felt more organic. And it didn't lose track of the story. It didn't go far left or far right. It still all fell within the context and exactly what you would expect from it, you know? So I'm going to give the Alizations arc and just kind of give it a chance and see what it does. But I'm not holding out high hopes for it, but that's just because it's SAO and I don't expect a lot from SAO, but you know, we'll kind of see how it goes from there. Do you have any last remarks you want to say about it? The silence speaks some wonders. All right. So kind of our last topic here is going to be about a show that is actually very special to me, and that's Violet Evergarden. And if people don't know, is that Violet Evergarden was a series and a Netflix exclusive, to be even more so, that came out in the winter season of last year. And my God, is this show so, so good. Like, honestly, this is one of those shows that actually had me crying, like, almost every other episode. Like, just, like, right up there with My Hero, this series had me, like, full on tears almost every episode with just how good it was. And that's because of the fact of the topics that it went into, and kind of what the story entailed, because it follows the main character, Violet, who at the time had been an orphan who was picked up by a captain from the Navy. And she was gifted to the captain's younger brother to be used as a tool of war, because she was just an orphan, didn't have any family, didn't care if she lived or died or anything happened to her. And, you know, his younger brother didn't like the way he was treating her and only took her because he wanted to get her away from him. But as he kind of found out throughout the story, is that she was the ultimate weapon. She was fast, nimble, efficient at killing, just everything, you know, someone hungry for war could want. But the thing is, he didn't want to see her as that. He actually treated her and saw her as a person and cared for her. And throughout the series, we saw her growth from trying to break away from her old habits as being only a soldier. As during an encounter in the story, she lost her hands in an explosion. Or really, she lost her arms. And when she wakes up in a hospital, they gave her a prosthetic. And she goes to work with a colonel who was a friend of her major's, who runs a post office, and they offer a service called auto memory dolls, who are basically people who can write letters for those who can't read or write themselves. And it's a beautiful story because throughout the series, we see her traveling to all these different places and meeting so many characters from so many different walks of life. I mean, from a drunken, you know, from a drunken, washed out, you know, author to helping a princess of a country write a love letter to the person she's supposed to be wed to, as well as, you know, writing a letter to even her coworker who had so many issues from with her family and kind of helping her. There's just so many small stories that were sprinkled throughout this series that really showed each character's depth and the issue of each of those characters that she meet and how it affected her. And it's so hard to talk about because just thinking about it chokes me up. It was so good. It really was something special. And they had recently announced at Anime Expo that they were going to work on a new project for Violet Evergarden, and they announced that they were actually going to be doing a movie for the show, and they announced that along with it that they're going to do, when they release the fourth DVD disc and Blu-ray and all that, it is going to have an extra episode when it ships out. Actually, it already shipped out in Japan. I don't know when it's going to come over here into the States, but they did announce that this was going to get a new project, which was a new movie that will be premiering in January of 2020. So they did give it a time frame, as well as I believe it was already announced for a second season as well. And I have to say, just this is a show that so many people, while it was talked about, was so overlooked. And it really is absolutely worthwhile to check out this show because it does so many things right. And it's not really a slice of life because it does talk about a lot of heavy topics, but it does kind of have that feel because of the fact that while there is definitely, you know, flashbacks to like the war and other things going on that she was a part of, it doesn't rely on all of that to the highest extent. It's hard to nail it down because it just jumps back through so many different things. But if you love a good story and love, I would say, more of a drama, this is absolutely a show that you have to watch. Even if you don't, I would recommend watching at least the first two episodes of the series. If you have Netflix, if you have the ability to absolutely check it out, because it is so worthwhile. It really is one of those shows that deserves so much more attention that it sucks that it didn't get as much recognition as it did. While it was absolutely hailed for people within the anime community, for those who were outside that, who didn't really pay attention to it because of all the big names that came out during the winter season of last year, this is criminally underrated, and you absolutely should check this out. And I'm telling that as someone who loves these kinds of shows and so many different genres, I absolutely recommend it for you. Whether you're a fan of the genre or not, it would be worthwhile.
So beautiful.
Oh, oh, shut up.
But no, seriously, bro. It sounds like really dope anime, bro. But like, just lightly touch on Hero Academia, bro. I'm telling you, bro, I almost cry a couple times with these next couple arcs coming up, bro. I'm pretty sure you're going to be bawling at one point with this next arc coming up, bro, because it hits home. Like really hard, man. Just like the emotion, the tension, everything, man. But to get back on topic, but yeah, unfortunately, go ahead.
I was just saying, man, everyone really has to see this show. It really is worthwhile.
It sounds dope, bro. It really does. I don't care. It doesn't have that much action in it. It's like here, like it's telling of her story, like her day to day life, go like after the war, trying to adjust her new life. You know, right?
Yeah, that's what I love about it, is it takes place after the war, but it has so many jumps and flashbacks to her story of, you know, during the war and other characters. Like it does play an aspect of it, but it doesn't have to rely on that so much. Like the beauty of the series is that each episode as a self-contained story about a new character that she meets that ties to the whole overall story that really grows her as a character as well as the entire world as it is, because you see it all come to play at the end of the series. Like, it really is one of those just it really is just a unique anime that only comes a dime a dozen every few seasons.
Yeah, how many seasons does it have? Just one, right?
Yes, it only has one right now, but it was announced for a second season getting a film, and I believe it has 20 episodes.
Yeah, one season then a film. It must do some numbers then, man.
Oh yeah, because it was, like I said, it was a Netflix original, mm-hmm. and when it came out last winter season, it was absolutely talked about by everyone. I think it has 13 episodes. Yeah, 13 on Netflix. So it's definitely something you could watch in a day.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So it's definitely something worthwhile. Like I said, it doesn't hold back on the fact of what it's capable of doing.
Yeah, I think I low-key think either talked about this early in like a previous episode, because I do remember hearing about this anime last year though, but I don't know if we ever talked about it.
I mentioned it a couple months ago, because I had finished watching it while I was recovering, and I was gushing about it back then, and just hearing that it's getting another film and another season, dude, just makes me gush about it all over again.
Yeah, it's just definitely a good time for the fans. Good time for me too, because I come at the end and watch it through, and you're like, oh, not to wait that too long for a movie and a second season.
Well, the film isn't coming until January 2020, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when the second season is. They haven't announced a date for it or a season when it's going to come out yet.
That's probably the movie then.
Yeah, but I would recommend watching the first season. Like I said, where it leaves off is definitely open-ended for a second season. But even if there wasn't a second season, you would still be satisfied with the ending. So it's definitely something that I would recommend for you, because you like to binge watch everything, to just sit down and watch it through.
Yep. I'm going through Berserk right now slowly, but I'm going to get back on it today because I've been slacking like a motherfucker. But yeah, I'm going to definitely squeeze this one in.
And Ed over here saying that Castlevania on Netflix is a bore fest.
Yes. Wait, what? What? He didn't like it?
Apparently, Ed did not like it. He says it. He said it is boring.
Man. Maybe if you're not a fan of the game, you're not going to care for it. Me personally, I never finished the original Castlevania, but I did play him a little bit. And I still loved it because seeing him watching my older brother, because he knew the lore of Castlevania. He's sitting like calling on the show. I'm like, oh, for real, bro? Oh, dope, for real. Right. Oh, that's Alucard. Oh, shit, all right, bro. But yeah, man, I loved it whenever it came out. The only issue is it's not enough episodes. It had like four.
It had four in the first season, but I believe the second season is going to be premiering soon, and that's going to have eight. And I think they said that they've already announced season three, but I believe they said it's either going to be 12 to 14 episodes for the second season or the third season.
Thank you, because that show, it blew up, like, really. No one was expecting anything. Like, the first season came out and did well, and they got greenlit for two more seasons after that. Like, man, they definitely got hit on their hands right here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's so much good stuff.
And they didn't hold back on the gore as well, which I loved about it, too.
Oh, they had to go, like, full on with the gore, because that's what it needed. You know, it's not a series that holds back.
Exactly.
You know, when you're talking about Dracula, you know, you can't hold back on something like that.
Exactly. Especially going back towards actually handles lore of Dracula as well. You can't go light on that either.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But definitely good time for anime.
Oh, it definitely is. But since you already brought it up, we'll go ahead and finish it off. Is My Hero for those who were hoping today to see the next episode, like me. There is no episode today. Apparently they're taking a week off, and that's because Horikoshi and the creative team stated that they were taking a break from this week because they are making some changes to readjust as well as to improve the art, because they are going to officially start the second half of the third season next Saturday. So they are going to do another 12 to 13 episodes. Like I've talked about in the past, that we're starting to see is that each season is kind of being split up into two halves across the year, but they're going straight into their second half right away. But they were making some changes, and that they put out the teaser for it, and that, oh my God, these next 13 episodes is going to fucking go hard. Because not just next episode, when the fact that we're going to see Class A finally creating
Supers,
creating their ultimate attacks, yeah. Yes, but yes. We're also going to be seeing the new rivals from a lot of the other superhero schools going up against Class A representing UA.
Yes, the provisional license arc, I believe, is coming up too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I'm
not sure
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They showed off a lot of teases for some great characters, and they actually showed off a tease of Deku starting to go full on with his kicks and his legs now compared to what he was doing before with his punches.
Y'all are in for a treat with Oh no, I'm going to do it. y'all are in for a treat with his new fighting style. I'm just gonna save that, man.
I know, man. I'm so excited for it. Like, just seeing that teaser, I'm just like, why you have to take a week off? This sucks.
Yeah, I know, bro. It's funny thing is, y'all are over suffering, but I do know what's gonna happen. But I don't get a new manga, so I'm suffering here too for the rest of y'all.
What's funny is that's what Justin just said in the chat. He said anime and manga off this week.
Yep. Surprisingly, One Piece did get a new manga out, but because I heard from somewhere, all of them, both are gonna be taking a break, some crap like that. But yeah, that was false. But yeah, just My Hero from what I can tell.
Yeah. So it's gonna be something interesting. It's definitely gonna be it's gonna be a good time all the way around, man. I honestly cannot wait for next week, especially with everything here starting next week too for the new summer season.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. And speaking of things that are coming in the summer season, just because I realized that just last week a lot of shows ended for the spring season. It's because of the fact of Golden Kamuy. I was just reading this earlier too, and I totally forgot about it. Golden Kamuy is probably one of my absolute favorite gems from the spring season, besides Darling in the Franxx and a lot of others. But Golden Kamuy has just been funny, been actiony, you know, completely an interesting take on history, especially with the way that they've handled the Anhui from the Hokkaido Islands in Japan, which were an indigenous tribe that were unfortunately kind of lost to history. But God, it's such a great show. It really is. It's entertaining to the highest degree. But it was announced that it's going to get a second season as well. That's going to run during the fall season starting in October. So when they announced that, I was absolutely excited to hear that, because dude, that is a show that, like I said, was going to be a golden gem from the spring season, right there with Megalobox. Like, those two are probably my absolute favorites out of this season, besides the continuing series that we already know. Brand new animes, Megalobox and Golden Kamuy have been absolutely the best out of this series.
My goodness, bro. It's up there with one of the best anime so far this summer. Oh,
God, yes, dude. Megalobox was just simply phenomenal. That takes me back to my boxing days and just growing up doing that, dude. Just seeing
your hands back in the day. Oh, all right. Now I see where nickname comes from.
my old man was a boxer, amateur, and when I was young, he taught me how to box and all that when I was growing up. So I recognized a lot of fighting styles from watching that, and it just got me back into to practicing all my free time. But man, dude, I love boxing. I do. And boxing animes, boxing movies, watching boxing matches, dude, I love it. It always takes me back, because I have a love for the sport.
Back in the old days, young knuckles throwing hands in the streets, man. You know?
Only a few times.
You gotta protect that name.
I didn't do that too much. I was smarter about a lot of shit. But yeah, man, dude. But those have absolutely been some of just the best out of the spring season. I absolutely loved it, man. It was simply phenomenal.
Yeah, man. I'm like an episode behind Megaloboxing, but like so far, man, I'm just loving
it. Oh, dude. That's a show that I'm gonna be doing an anime review on here soon. So everyone should definitely look at that. Oh, dude, I got to. That show is just too good to not talk about, from the style and the music and everything.
But the best part is, oh my god, the music, man, especially with the Japanese rap. Like, I think that's the correct term for it. Japanese rap.
Yeah,
bro, I love it. It's phenomenal, man.
Oh yeah, the music in that. And what's funny is that there's even a scene later on, because I'm not gonna spoil it, is that Sachio, the voice actor who does Sachio, even throws down in a rap himself.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, dude, it's just so good. I'm gonna have to rewatch that whole series now.
Yeah, man. Once it finishes, I'm going to go through it again, just one shot. Just get all in one sitting.
Oh, absolutely. But it's something else, man. But definitely a lot of good things coming. And like, especially with like, this year has been so jam-packed full of top-tier animes, dude. It's so hard to just kind of talk about them. And I honestly can't wait to kind of put the list together when we talk about this for the end of the year. Because just so many good things have come out. Like, I've been watching through Footy Cootie Progressive. And it's so good. I fucking love the pillows. Just having their music back is so good, dude. You don't have no idea.
Yeah, definitely, man. But definitely a good episode. I'm sorry I missed like the first three topics. I got 6.5, so you know, there's that. Got 6.5 topics in this time. That's cool.
But guys, we are about to get out of here, but I do need to make an announcement here for those who are watching and for our friends and fans here, is that we will be putting the Smash podcast here on hiatus for a while. And the reason that we are doing this is that a couple of us have got new jobs, me especially, that right now our time frames and our ability to do the show is kind of thrown out of sync. So yeah, they don't line up anymore. So we're trying to figure out a new time frame, trying to keep it on Saturdays if we can, and seeing what we could do to readjust it to be able to keep doing the shows, because we do love being able to do this, and we do love when y'all come out here and watch and enjoy it with us. But until then, we will be taking a break. But I will be keeping everyone updated. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, definitely make sure you do, so that way you can get all the updates. But also do keep an eye on the channel, because I don't want y'all to be left out of the loop. I will be pushing forward with this time now, with this change up, that I will be trying to do more solo content. So like I said, I am going to be trying to do more reviews, do small news updates, and just a lot of small things here. So that way y'all do kind of keep getting some of that information and kind of do keep getting that fill. Like I said, Megalobox is definitely one that I am going to be doing here soon, because it is just one of my absolute favorites. Golden Kamuy is definitely one I want to do, and a few others. But definitely just kind of keep a watch out on the channel, because I am going to be trying to do that, to just kind of keep filling in the gaps, so that way y'all aren't going, you know, so long without hearing my stupid rants here about everything.
Documentaries is the correct term.
Yeah, man. Over here, these guys call me the anime king for a reason. They're just like, man, he's going to talk. We're just going to go get some popcorn and chill out.
Yeah, fix up dinner. You'll take care of the kids. You know, just take care of life while this man going on.
Exactly. But we did want to keep y'all out, as well as I want everyone to know, as well as I will be posting a updated Gleamio link on this video as well as on the next one for sure, as well as I'll be tweeting one out here in the next few days to start for the giveaway. So definitely be paying attention to that. So that way we can kind of give you that. I'll take a picture of some of the goodies that we're going to be handing away for that. So definitely keep a lookout. Okay. All right. So to everyone from us to y'all, peace out and check you later, people. We about to Detroit Dash.
Yep.